You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm your host, William Cooper. Well, folks, last week was an incredible 5 days. People came from all over the United States for 5 days of seminars, lectures, films, slides, practical demonstrations, and 1 day of actual application, ending with a campout up on the mesa. And I'm telling you, folks, it was something to behold. I don't believe that I could have handpicked any better the people that showed up here if I had had a year to do it and could have gone from state to state. My wildest expectations were more than realized, and the people who showed up here, as I expected they would be, were the people who took me at my word and checked what I say on this broadcast to determine for themselves what the truth is, and not just this broadcast, but other broadcasts and newspapers and all kinds of other things. For many of them, this broadcast, the Hour of the Time, was their wake-up. Brought them out of the flock, so to speak. They began to stand on their own 2 feet in their own right because they have a brain and they can think. And they are and will continue to be leaders. Leaders. And what we did here, folks, knowing that leaders would come, and the hesitant, the paranoid, the stupid, and the sheeple, and people who just had responsibilities through no fault of their own, who could not possibly get away, no matter what category they fit in, would stay home. We knew the leaders would be here. And so we had a surprise for them. What they received during the 5 days that they were here was hardcore leadership training to prepare them to lead the fight in the coming years. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it was Star Wars, and only those that were here will understand what I'm talking about. Let me tell you what we just got in today. This is very important, I believe, so that you'll know some of the things that we have here. We just got these in today. We're the only ones that have them in the entire country, besides our agent in New York, who was able to procure these documents. I'm holding in my hand, ladies and gentlemen, the North American Free Trade Agreement, Supplemental Agreements and Additional Documents, message from the President of the United States, transmitting North American Free Trade Agreement, Supplemental Agreements and Additional Documents, November 4th, 1993. This consists of, let me see here, approximately 312 pages. I also have the NAFTA, Expanding U.S. Exports, Jobs, and Growth, Clinton Administration Statement on the North American Free Trade Agreement. President Clinton, February 26, 1993. This is a very small publication, 12 pages. NAFTA, another one. NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, A Guide to Customs Procedures. And this is approximately 52 pages. We have the NAFTA Supplemental Agreements. These are supplemental agreements, not made public. And this consists of, let me see here, consists of 50 pages. We have the NAFTA Volume 1. This is Volume 1, North American Free Trade Agreement between the Government of the United States of America, the Government of Canada, and the Government of the United Mexican States, 1993. And this consists of 2,107 pages, thick, about 3 inches thick at least. We have the NAFTA, Volume 2, North American Free Trade Agreement between the Government of the United States of America, the Government of Canada, and the Government of the United Mexican States, 1993. And this is, let me see here. I've got to get through all these appendixes. You see, after I give you the page number, how many pages there are in the document, then there's a whole about half inch to 1 inch of annexes, what you would call appendixes in other documents. And this, Volume 2, maybe it's all appendixes. let me see here. Volume 2 appears to be nothing but annexes and appendixes to the treaty, which is contained in 2,000 and some odd pages in Volume 1. We have the North American Free Trade Agreement, Annex 302.2, Schedule of the United States. This is 3 inches thick and has, oh gosh, a couple thousand pages in there. North American Free Trade Agreement, Annex 302.2, Schedule of Canada, NAFTA. It has 500 and about 550 pages. We have the North American Free Trade Agreement, Annex 302.2, Schedule of Mexico. And it has 600 pages. And then we have the NAFTA, Expanding United States Exports, Jobs, and Growth, Report on Environmental Issues. I wonder what that means. It can take us a while to go through all this, folks. It's taken us quite a while just to get it, and it was extremely expensive, I can assure you, for our operative who obtained these documents. It says 153 pages. North American Free Trade Agreement, Opportunities for United States Industries, NAFTA Industry Sector Reports, United States Department of Commerce. And the pages in here aren't numbered. It goes by chapters, but I can tell you this, it's about an inch and a half thick. Now, we just got these in today, folks, and it's just another addition to our library. of which we have about one quarter to one third of the books on the shelves. They're being categorized and put into a computer database so that we can keep track of them. And the other books eventually will go up on the shelf, along with all the new books that come in on a regular basis. So, you know a little of what's happening here. Now, there's something we've got to talk about, folks, because it's beginning to happen all over the United States. In the Southeast, United States Marines and United States Army troops have invaded small towns. Literally invaded small towns. Scared the living hell out of some of the occupants of those small towns. I mean, they took the town. Took the mayor. Went house to house. Secured intersections. And just as quickly vanished. Now, this is against the law. It is against the law. It has nothing to do with patriotism. It has nothing to do with facilitating the Army or the Marines or the Navy or the Air Force and their training, because their training is not supposed to involve civilians, and they're not supposed to be involved in law enforcement. They have no authority to go on house-to-house searches. Capturing the mayor of a city is kidnapping. I don't care who does it or under what conditions. And we're going to have to stop this right now. Because what they're doing, folks, is not training the military. Are you listening closely? They are training to take American cities by practicing on American cities. They're going house to house and searching homes with no search warrants. No reason, no probable cause. Nothing other than, if you don't let us conduct our training exercise, then you're not a patriot. And I tell you, if you do, you're not a patriot. You're a fool. Are you listening? They identify homes with weapons. They map and identify portions of the city or town that was not familiar to them before this exercise. Has anybody checked to see if any patriot leaders have disappeared during these transgressions? This is unconstitutional. It's illegal. It has nothing to do with patriotism. And you'd better wake up. Right now, in New Patmos, Idaho, the paper there, the Coeur d'Alene Press, North Idaho News Network, Sunday, July 31st, 1994, and this isn't the only article we have. We have many articles from Washington State and from Idaho. But I'm going to read you this one because it really sets it up pretty good. The little town of Rainier, Washington. That's Rainier, Washington, folks. And if you're up there listening, you better listen to me very carefully. Recently stood on its hind legs and did what little towns in Idaho should start doing. Seems Uncle Sugar and his military minions wanted to stage a mock invasion of Rainier, population 1,300, located 10 miles from Olympia, Washington. Involved were the United States Army Special Forces, an Army Reserve Unit, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA. The troops and FEMA wanted to simulate a terrorist takeover of Rainier, complete with a kidnapped mayor. The heavies would then roll in to rescue the town, complete with a house-to-house search, while the reserve unit would help the citizens cope with the psychological disaster of the invasion. At first blush, the town fathers liked the idea of hosting a military exercise, because Rainier is filled mostly with retired military, Vietnam veterans, farmers, and shopkeepers. And at that point, they were all fools. Stupid, sheeple fools. But they didn't stay that way. Because then it dawned on everyone what the ramifications of the exercise were. They told Uncle Sugar to stuff it. And at that point, they became real people. Visions of Waco and Ruby Ridge began to dance in their heads. Said Bruce Bell, chairman of the Rainier Town Planning Commission and comptroller of an Olympia rifle building company, "My town does not want to help train the federal forces in how to take over American towns, nor does my town want to encourage the idea that we exist just to be subservient to the federal government." Fighting words, them, and the forces of evil began their retreat. First came a 4-1 vote by the school board to deny the feds the use of school grounds for their camp. And you better find out who voted yes. One of those people, the fool, voted yes. Find out who it is. Get them off the school board now. Then at a stormy town hall meeting 2 weeks ago, at which the military and FEMA were present, the citizens let it be known they would resist the exercise and, if necessary, blockade the streets. Army Major John Salone, in retort, said, "We'll have to go find a town that's more patriotic." You see how they use those words to manipulate you? All of a sudden, the city of Rainier, Washington, because they told these people they could not break the law, they would not allow this illegal, unconstitutional action in their city, were called unpatriotic by this fascist Nazi Major John Salone. Now that rubbed Bell, a decorated and disabled Vietnam combat infantryman, just a tad against the grain. My response to these military REMFers was, "Where were you in 1967 and 1968? I did not see you on LZ Baldy, Quezon, Tontien, LZ Crystal, and other tiny spots in Southeast Asia." "I will not have my patriotism questioned," he said, which is the irony of the whole thing. Rainier, because of its proximity to Fort Lewis, has a good relationship with the United States military. Most members of its population, according to Bell, are veterans of some war or exercise. It's the government they don't like, and the government's use of the military on American civilians. You see, folks, people are beginning to wake up. Because this isn't the first time that this has happened, nor will it be the last. I continue. The only time the U.S. government can legally use U.S. troops against U.S. citizens is if there is some suspicion of drug activity. Notice I said suspicion. You will remember that for a brief few hours, Randy Weaver was said to be growing pot, and that the Branch Davidians were accused of having a speed lab. Obviously, neither of those allegations was true. But the sheeple believed it, and the military was used to murder innocent civilians. And that was the whole goal from day one, from the beginning. I continue. But it was enough to get around the Posse Comitatus Act and allow the military to start stomping. FEMA and the Army are in retreat, but have not withdrawn their plans to occupy Rainier next month. Keep your shovels and pitchforks handy, folks. If they proceed, let's go over and watch. That's what David Bond says of the new Patmos, Idaho, Coeur d'Alene Press, North Idaho News Network, Sunday, July 31st, 1994. I say, ladies and gentlemen, if they proceed, let's pick up our guns and go over there and show them that it's not going to be easy to take an American town. And you can accuse me of anything you want, just like you accused Linda Thompson. This ain't Washington, D.C., and I'm not bullshitting. And you better figure out real quick, neither are they. This is serious. And we have to draw the line somewhere. Military troops dropping out of the skies on our cities, running into our schools and taking our children hostage, kidnapping the mayor out of his office, blockading the intersections and streets, stopping civilians and detaining them, taking them off to be interrogated, going on house-to-house searches, forcing the population to go through psychological testing after this is all over. Now, if you've got any brains in your head, when that begins to happen, that's the time to pick up your gun. That's the time to make sure you have a militia. And that's the time you had damn well better be ready to stand up for your freedom. Now let's open the phones and see what the smart people have to say about this. And I'm sure we'll hear from some of the sheeple. 602-337-2524. I want to hear what you think about this. I want to hear if you know of this happening at any other time in this country, in any other cities, in any other states. I want to hear what you have to say. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill and fellow patriots. I get the Lewiston Morning Tribune sent down to me, and I want to publicly thank my grandmother, who is approaching 90, who is going to keep me involved or keep me informed about news of my hometown. I have not heard of anything from Rainier until your broadcast, and I keep hearing rumblings. And I'm going to go back and reread my things. What I'd like to get a comment from you and from the other patriots out there is what Sam Hill is Bo Gritz doing in Kamiyai?
Doing in what?
In Kamiyai. There is an editorial. It is in, and I'll, I will fax you or send you somehow this editorial, and I would like to find factual basis behind it. But apparently, your friend, and not your friend sarcastically, and not mine, Bobo Grips, is setting up shop or planning to set up shop in the town of Kamiyai. That's spelled K-A-M.
Do you have a television on or something?
No, I do not.
What is that in the background?
Nothing.
Well, there's something in the background. Sounds like a radio, television, or something.
All my radios are turned down.
Are there people hollering and yelling?
Probably my upstairs neighbor who are Russian immigrants.
Oh, well, shoot him.
just
kidding, folks.
He makes good vodka. But I'd like to find out what Samuel Bo Gritz is doing in Kamiyai.
I have no idea. You have to ask him. I think he's trying to set up
a
place where racists can gather and... I don't know.
Under a crisp and some sort of crisp.
You have to remember the Northwest four states or something are the states that the racists want to reserve strictly for the white superior supremacist.
And I wanted to move back there. I wanted to move home. Maybe I'm safer in the People's Republic.
No, you don't have to worry about it. I've done a little checking. I've checked the statistics. There aren't enough of them to even worry about. In fact, there aren't enough of them to console each other when they find out that there aren't enough of them.
Well, there's not enough of them to console each other when the real people, the real residents, the real honest-to-God patriots of North Idaho will take the little Aryan nation's crybabies and kick them the hell out.
Well,
I get...
You can't do that. Everybody's entitled to their beliefs. It's only when they try to affect other people and take away other people's freedoms or hurt other people that you need to do something with them. I understand the last meeting they had, only about 12 people showed up.
Good. So, that's 13 too many.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't worry about it. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Bill. And let's remember, don't tread on us.
That's right. And they're going to find out that that's real talk there. 602-337-2524. I want to hear from you. I want to know if you know of any other cities where this has occurred and what happened, when it was, what the name of the city was. I want to hear, what do you think about what's going on in Rainier, Washington? You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
Yes, I'm calling from Houston, Texas. My name's Tom.
Hello, Tom.
I recall in 1992 it happened in Los Angeles where the 4th Infantry Division walked right into Los Angeles and suppressed the riots after the Rodney King verdict.
Yeah, that they did, and there was no declaration of national emergency, and federal troops were not requested by the governor. They were just sent.
Right.
That's illegal.
And in fact, while I was at Fort Benning Airborne School, I talked to some 4th Infantry Division guys, and they said that they had... In fact, shot several civilians because they began harassing the soldiers.
Well, we know this is true. It's been suppressed by the media, and it's been denied by the government, but the people in the neighborhoods have some hair-raising stories to tell. And these are not gang members. They're not rioters. These were good, upstanding people who cared about the community and hated what happened and tried to stop it and were actively engaged in helping to put out fires and try to control things.
What was unfortunate is a lot of the civilians and the city councilmen had asked for it. They had wanted the military to come in, and that's what's most unfortunate.
Well, unfortunately, they may have wanted it, but the military can't come in without a declaration of emergency by the president and a request by the governor of the state. Neither one of those two things happened.
Right. Well, it's just a perfect example of how we've all been stupefied.
That's right. Thank you for calling.
All right.
602-337-2524. After everything had occurred, then people began declaring emergencies. But at the time it happened, nope. Nope, they all stood back. The so-called Black Caucus in Washington encouraged rioting, called for it. So-called black leaders called for it. And I'm telling you, if you're black, you better watch out who your leaders are. They're leading you right into a death camp, eventually. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello.
Bill, you asked a question in reference to the incident that's looking to happen.
Yes.
This two things happened. One was publicized in Denver, Colorado, a while back, with a MASH unit setting up right in downtown Denver, Colorado. And Janet Reno came in with Hillary Clinton. They were providing some type of free medical care for a lot of people, and everyone thought that was wonderful as far as the National Guard doing that and taking their time out and so on and so forth. Now, that seemed innocent.
But it's not innocent at all. It's a desensitizing process to get the public to ignore the illegal activities of the military.
Right. And, well, when I said that tongue-in-cheek as far as what the people thought.
Oh, I know what you meant, but I have... You see, this is radio. I can't hold up a picture and let everybody see what exactly I'm talking about. I have to explain everything in detail because there's some people out there who may be just listening for the first time and don't really know what's going on.
Well, you're right as far as desensitizing me because that was what was taking place. Now, right after that, and I'm sorry that I don't have the dates and all, but now that you mention that, I'm going to start looking into it. The second incident was in a town that's called Green River Falls in Colorado, and it apparently was a unit from the Fort Carson group out of Colorado Springs, but they did the same thing. So they went in to the mayor, they took him captive, and the only thing that's documented is that it was written up in a newspaper that's called the Ute Pass Gazette.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to research that and get a copy of all of the articles concerning what happened and send them to me. Can you do that?
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
You're welcome. Thank you. That's how we can get the truth out, folks. All work together. That's what the intelligence service is about. If you don't belong, it doesn't mean you can't help. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi there, Mr. Cooper. My name is Leslie, and I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Leslie, you need to turn off your radio.
Okay, let me listen. Sorry about that.
Folks, for the 3,780th time.
Turn off your radio.
That's right.
I just really want to thank you for all that you have done, and you have had a powerful impact on my life personally, and I want to let you know that there's a lot of young people in Tulsa, Oklahoma, who are tuning in to the work that you have compiled, and I just really think it's amazing what's going on in the country, and not only with the older people, but with the younger people, too, who are being attacked by the media and being portrayed as nothing more than juvenile delinquents and such. But you would not believe the young people I'm coming into contact with who are aware of the New World Order and what the implications are, what the United Nations is doing, and, you know, a lot of other different aspects of our government. But I just want to thank you, and you have given me a lot of inspiration and hope. Being 28 years old, I really don't feel like I have much to look forward to the next 10 years of my life, but knowing there are other patriots and people with a heart as pure as yours it really gives me something to wake up, you know, for the next day and keep trying and fighting.
Well, thank you very much.
No problem.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Folks, don't go away. I'll be right back after this short pause.
Oh, where have you been, my blue-eyed son? Oh, where have you been, my darling young one? I've stumbled on side of 12 misty mountains. I've walked and I've crawled on 6 crooked highways. I've stepped in the middle of 7 sad forests. I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. And it's hard, it's hard, it's hard, it's hard, it's hard. Rain's gonna fall. What did you hear, my blue-eyed son?
Ladies and gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They specialize in non-confiscatable, non-reportable hard assets. Now, these are the things that traditionally, throughout the history of the world, have never lost their value. They have never failed to serve as real money in every nation, in every political climate, in every period in history. And I challenge you to prove me wrong. Now I want you to call our sponsors, because before this program is over, you're going to understand a few things that you did not understand before you tuned in tonight. And you're going to know that it's later than you think, much, much later than you think, just like the people who came for the last 5 days of the conference left here with the understanding that it's much later than they ever dreamed. And they went home with the full intent to prepare themselves, prepare their communities, form and lead militia, and function as intelligence officers of the Second Continental Army of the Republic. For they are. Whether or not you decide to join the fight by joining us, you had better prepare to protect you and your family. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The whole purpose of everything that I've done up until the time that I realized how late it is was to try to prevent bloodshed from ever occurring in this country. It's too late now, ladies and gentlemen. The people who have declared war upon us are not going to settle for anything less than total, 100% complete enslavement of the American people and the world. And we have decided that we would rather die than be slaves. You're going to have to make your own decision. And one of the things you're going to have to do to prepare is make sure that you have some kind of money that will serve you in the days, the hours, the weeks, the months, and the years to come. Throughout history, only one thing has ever proven to serve that function and serve it well. And that's precious metals in its various forms. So call Swiss America Trading now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Do it now, folks. You'll be glad that you did.
way I face the barren waste without the taste of water. Ooh, water.
Yeah, all the folks up on the mesa last Friday night gathered around the campfire. Sure wish they'd have brought some water. Well, somebody's been holding on the phones for a while, so we'll go straight there without further ado. Good evening. You're on the air.
Well, thank you, Bill. I didn't know whether you'd be interested in something like this. I've run across in the Burlington, North Carolina newspaper Saturday, the 422nd Civil Affairs Battalion, which is an airborne unit of special operations out of Fort Bragg, conducted paratrooping exercises and planned to do it four times a year in Burlington.
In Burlington?
In Burlington, or in the airport in Burlington, North Carolina, which is a small jet port. It can handle jets.
Uh-huh.
But I thought it was very interesting, a civil affairs battalion. Not sure what that means.
Well, a civil affairs battalion, if you'll remember during World War II, a civil affairs battalion were the troops who followed the combat troops into areas that were taken from the enemy. They would set up local government and control the populace.
Sounds like just what we were talking about, what you've been talking about this evening.
That's absolutely correct. They would root out the ones that they considered to be the enemy and put them in barbed wire concentration camps, the same thing they accused the Germans of doing.
Yes, and which I think we have, there's one regional down near about 30 miles from here on the other side of Durham.
Mm-hmm.
It was an old Marine camp, and now it's been revitalized. And there's also a federal prison down there as well. Just extremely interesting. So I think it would be safe to say we have reason to be concerned.
We have much reason to be concerned. As I said before, we don't have much time at all, much less time than anyone out there even dares to think. I want to thank you for that bit of information.
Bill, I thank you for your show and all you're doing.
You're welcome. I'll be here till they come to take me away, my friend.
Myself. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
And all of you, as a matter of fact, who are helping in this fight. Folks, listen to me very, very carefully. If we allow these people to jump out of the sky into our cities and practice on our mayors and go house to house and do all the things that I've talked about before, all across the country, people are going to be desensitized to this. They're not going to pay any attention to it whatsoever. What do you think is going to happen when one day you wake up and you see troops falling out of the sky and tanks down on the corner and people coming house to house? You're going to say, oh, it's just another one of them military training exercises, and I'm telling you, at that point, it's going to be the real thing. Every single one of you listening had better go down to your local video store and get a movie called Red Dawn and watch it. Watch it. Because what's happening in Rainier, Washington, what is happening in other small American cities across this country is going to happen in the future, only it won't be a training exercise. You'd better wake up, folks. These people are manipulators, deceivers, and liars par excellence, and they don't give a damn about the law, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, or anything else. They're going to have their new world order come hell or high water. But it's going to be over my dead body. And I hope at least some of you out there feel the same way. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Good. I got through to you, Bill. Linda Thompson this evening canceled her march.
That's right. While she was here speaking at the conference, we sat down and we had a long, long talk, and she decided to do that.
That's what I think. Is it still our Linda?
Pardon?
Is it still our Linda?
Yes, she's still our Linda.
CIA has a habit of exchanging people.
You know what? You got a bad connection. I can barely understand what you're saying.
That's possible. Can you hear me now?
Just barely. I mean, we can hear you, but your voice is all garbled. Are you speaking on some kind of a roamer phone or something?
Negative. Is that any better?
No, you just got a bad connection.
It's probably all a tap on my line.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're going to have to call back at some other time because we can't understand what you're saying.
All right, is it any better?
No, it's not. Sorry. We don't have time to experiment to make your phone better, folks. I know that this is a good gentleman, and he was trying to give us some information, but if we can't understand you, we can't understand you. So I'm sorry about that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is John. I'm calling from Los Angeles. You had a gentleman that called earlier regarding the L.A. riots and the police troops that have come in during that time.
Mm-hmm.
Just something I'd like to bring up prior to those riots. I'm not sure if anybody's seen.
Are you all right?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just getting comfortable.
Okay, don't be nervous.
Okay. prior to the troops and the police actually moving and doing anything, which was hours later, I was watching it right from the start. It was as if the police surrounded that area of Florence, and I forget the name of the other street. And it's like they allowed them to start it. Like they wanted them to start this.
Yes, they did. And the orders to the police officers were hands off, don't do anything, don't arrest anybody, don't go in there, don't make your presence known, stay out of it.
No, exactly. And what really...
Chief Gaines is just a scumbag liar, and that's all there is to it. And I'll say that to his face any day. It's no coincidence that he left the police force and became a talk show host on KFI in Los Angeles.
Yeah, which isn't a very good show anyway.
Well, it's a horrible show. And he sits there and tells everybody everything's okay and blah, blah, you know.
Never was. And people also have to realize the police out here in L.A., don't really pick the people that they want to intimidate. They intimidate everybody of every religion, race.
I know. I used to live there.
Oh, yeah. And it's just if you do not follow their little rules and kiss their little butts.
Well, they're not police, and they're not there to protect and serve.
No, they don't. They're
there to be the little Gestapo and whip the enemy into line. They're taught that the civilian population is the enemy. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
602-337-2524, folks. If you'd like to talk about what's going on up in Rainier and what you may know has happened in other towns across the country of a like kind, then we'd like to hear from you. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, good evening. I just wanted to call and confirm an earlier call that we heard from Denver, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
The guard was here and at a place called Five Points or Five Corners. It's an intersection. There's a lot of homeless people that live down there. And that's where they were doing these maneuvers, pseudo maneuvers, as you call them. We've also seen a lot of military helicopter activity around here, usually at night, late at night, between maybe midnight, 3:30, and 4 in the morning. And up and down I-25 south of Denver, there's been a lot of activity too as well in the recent month and a half. Just wanted to let you know.
Thank you very much.
We got our eyes open for you up here.
Good.
All righty.
Thank you.
You bet.
Well, folks, you're beginning to hear some things. And believe me, a lot of people out there have some stories to tell, but they're shy and they won't call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, William. Knowing how desperate the situation is,
Don't you think we need to do something more drastic along the lines of Linda Thompson's march on Washington?
Can't do it, my friend. We must have the law with us. We must stay within the law. If they instigate it, we are within our rights and within the law to do whatever is necessary to save our freedoms and restore the Constitution. If we start it, we are then terrorists, insurrectionists, rebellious overthrowers of the United States government, and I am not that. I want to restore.
I understand
what has been taken away.
Linda's plan does have a lot of flaws in it, but with your expertise, you have to agree that we need something major to wake up the sheeple of this country.
We cannot do anything until they do something first. You have to understand something, that when this starts, it's not going to be over real quick. We're going to have to fight a guerrilla war, and we're going to need the support of the population. If we are the terrorists, if we are rebels trying to overthrow the United States government, we will have no help from the populace. We will have no support from the people.
But if we don't do something soon, it's going to be too late to do anything.
Don't get radical. If you get radical and you start it first, they will be justified. We'll have the support of the entire population of the sheeple out there when they come to step on us.
Well, they're going to try that either way.
Well, it's a little different when you have the law on your side. You see, the weight of the people is a political force.
Well, it just seems like right now the political people are involved. It's just such a minuscule amount compared to the overwhelming sheeple. And without something drastic to wake them up and draw their attention, because I feel like even in defeat...
What do you mean something drastic? If Waco didn't wake them up, nothing's going to wake them up, my friend.
Waco's small potatoes compared to maybe 5 million people, even unarmed, passing somewhere.
Go back to bed. Folks, if you're way out in left field, forget it. You're not going to help us. You're going to hurt us. 5 million people, huh? By that time, it's too late to wake anybody up. And, I don't know. Sometimes I don't know if I'm getting across to anybody out there. But I have to keep trying. 602-337-2524. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. I appreciate your program and what you're doing.
Thank you.
I live somewhere in Illinois, and I was in Chicago a couple of days ago. And on the Chicago Transit Authority elevated trains, there's these advertisements for the Guardian Angels. Call now, 24 hours to a given number.
Uh-huh.
Just join us in fighting crime after school or after work. Now, the logos on their shirt will interest you because they have...
The triangle with the all-seeing eye, I know.
That's correct. And I was going to ask you how we should approach the situation.
How should you approach which situation?
Well, do we assume that these people are... enemies, and if so, how do we...
Well, if you're where the guardian angels are, you're not going to be able to do anything anyway. You have to understand something, folks. When this happens, all they have to do to control the people in the cities is to block the cities. That's all they have to do. They don't have to go into cities with troops. All they have to do is seal off the railway, the highways, the freeways, and you're all going to kill each other. They don't have to do a thing. They'll wait till you're all done killing each other, and then they'll come up and mop up all the bodies and take over. And if you're smart and you're not a sheeple, you better get out of large population areas. You saw what happened in Los Angeles.
Oh, absolutely.
That's small potatoes. That's nothing compared to what's going to happen.
I just want to say that I appreciate what you do out there, and also Bernadine Smith was on earlier tonight on another program. And I support her wholeheartedly also because it's patriots like you and her that we actually have something going on here. And please keep up the good work, okay?
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. 602-337-2524. I'd like to hear from you and talk about this for a little bit. Folks, what's coming is not going to be pretty. You can't be crazy about this. You can't go off the deep end, and we've got to be within the law. We can't be made out to be the terrorists or the overthrowers of the United States government. The United States government's already been overthrown. We must restore the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to their legal and lawful place as the supreme law of the land. To do that, we must be justified. There can never be another Waco or anything like it. And I'm telling you right now, troops falling from the skies and going in to kidnap the mayor of Rainier, Washington, in my estimation, is all we need. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Good evening, Bill. How are you?
I'm fine.
Back in California. I was in Southern California not long ago, two weeks ago, and I was just coming out of the market, and as I stepped into the parking lot, I heard a roar, a fantastic roar of jet engines, and I looked up, and at 400 feet, here come two B-1 camouflaged bombers with eight F-18 escorts. And they were pushing about 400 miles an hour at 400 feet over Alhambra in the middle of Los Angeles, to the edge of Los Angeles there. I figured that that was illegal. That's very strange to see B-1 bombers at that low altitude over a heavy civilian population area. I just thought I'd call that in and add that to the good reports that are coming in tonight, Bill.
Thank you.
It's a very fine show. Keep it up, Bill.
Thank you for calling.
Sir.
As I said, folks, it's illegal, it's unlawful, it's not safe, it's unethical. My father was an Air Force pilot. He would never have dreamed of doing anything like that. And if he had, he would have been raked over the coals. I grew up on Air Force bases. I know what I'm talking about. They're desensitizing you. So when they come in to use those weapons, nobody will pay any attention to it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, July 31st, calling from Canada regarding July 31st.
Did you call earlier tonight?
No, we did not.
Boy, the sounds are very suspiciously the same. Go ahead.
No, I'm not. No, I called you one other night, actually.
Go ahead. What do you have to say?
Anyway, what I wanted to mention, I'm calling from Canada. My name is Jim, and black helicopters flying just about 80 miles east of Detroit. July the 31st, 94, 6 p.m. I phoned up all the military establishments and RCMP here. No one will tell me anything.
Of course not. Don't know nothing, didn't see nothing.
No.
Ain't going to say nothing.
No.
Right? They're all a bunch of dummies, huh?
Yeah, they actually did mention they thought that possibly one other individual police officer, what do we have, the OPP, which is the Ontario Provincial Police, basically said to me, thought it was drug enforcement. They had the biggest Gatling gun, you know, one of those rail-type guns sticking out of the side. We did see.
Yeah, we see them quite often here in Arizona.
Yep. I just thought I'd mention that. I called you another time. I was in the chat. We called you and mentioned I was from the UK originally.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. Take care, bye.
602-337-2524. Got time for maybe two more calls, maybe three, possibly. Let us hear from you. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling from Florida.
Hello.
I'm a new listener. And so, actually, my brother got me turned on to shortwave.
Uh-huh.
Can you please tell me who they are when you say they're trying to take over the government?
Lady, it's taken me 2 years to tell people who they are, and there's no way I can do it in less than 2 minutes of the time that I have left.
People inside of the government.
Yes, absolutely. You're going to have to do some research on your own. You're going to have to order some tapes of back programs. You're going to have to start going to Patriot meetings and get involved and start putting this together for yourself.
Very interesting. And, you know, since this program came on, you know, I live near the largest free base in the world, and I've noticed a lot of activity.
That's right. Russian troops and Russian equipment are coming into the United States on a daily basis.
And training troops there also.
That's right.
Well, it's very scary, and I think the best thing that we can do is just spread the word.
You're absolutely correct. That's what we're trying to do, and we hope you'll help us.
I sure will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For those of you who don't know it, the United States government has announced that there will be joint maneuvers in the United States involving one full division of Russian heavy armor. Now, let me give you an idea of what that is. One company is 120 men. It takes three companies to make a battalion. Three battalions make a regiment. Three regiments, ladies and gentlemen, make a division. Three divisions make an army. There are Russian Hind helicopters at Fort Polk, Louisiana. We have photographs of them in the air, flying around Fort Polk and around the Louisiana area. We have photographs of several hundred Russian trucks in Mississippi Not one of those trucks has over 2,000 miles registered on their odometer. We have photographs of Russian armor on American rail cars. We have photographs of Russian armor and Russian equipment being unloaded from ships in American harbors. This is no joke. If you read the treason papers that we have taken years to put together, you will see that State Department document publication 7277 outlines the combining of the United States and Russian military to serve as the United Nations peacekeeping force worldwide. It calls for the disarmament of all peoples and all nations, including the people of the United States of America. Time is running out. If you've been a fool, sheeple, all your life, it's time to become a real people. Get smart. Stand up. Get ready to protect your liberty, because that's what it's going to come down to. Good night, folks, and God bless each and every single one of you.